Okay, welcome back, everybody. Well, what are we?
In the garden.
In the garden is first. That's number 12 in the room. I don't know if you guys, if we have it. Is it in there? Well, F2 it for everybody. They don't have the, Luke, F2 the, No, in the, you got to be in the room to F2. That way everybody can see the, yeah, there you go. Okay. Oh my God. Hmm. I hate praying enough.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God is closer, and He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, not others have ever known. He speaks and the sound of His voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that He gave to me within my heart is ringing. And He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I stay in the garden with Him, though the night around me be falling. But He bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Number 524, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the faith of the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust in cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me, need the healing cleansing blood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh,
Yeah, I'm thinking we got that one done in record time. That was amazing. Jillian's is a bit high spirited this morning. That was nice though. It's good, fast or medium, either way. Okay, we have a children's story, I guess. We don't have it, the word's going to show up in the room, but Mono does have something he's going to share. Go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Happy Sabbath. Today's story is about the furnace of blazing fire and four men walking the fire. Okay, let's begin. There was a king named Nebuchadnezzar. He made a golden statue 90 feet tall. An announcement was made to everyone to worship the statue or to be thrown in the furnace. Everyone worshiped the idol Nebuchadnezzar had set up, everyone except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These were friends of Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood before the angry king. He said, "You must worship the golden statue I set up. If not, you will be thrown into the fiery furnace." They replied, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we can only say this. We believe our God can save us from the furnace. If he doesn't, we still won't serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden statue." Nebuchadnezzar was so filled with rage, his face became hideous. "Heat the furnace 7 times hotter than before," he commanded. His strongest guards tied up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The furnace raged with heat and killed the guards as they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery flames. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down. There's 2 questions here. Who refused to worship the golden statue? And the answer to that was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The next question was, who died at the furnace? It wasn't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was the guards that threw them into the fiery furnace that died. Okay, then here's another story. This one's called 4 Men Walk in the Fire. Nebuchadnezzar was amazed looking into the furnace. He said, "Didn't we tie 3 men and throw them into the furnace?" One of his servants replied, "This is true, O king." Nebuchadnezzar asked, "But I see 4 men untied walking through the fire. They aren't hurt at all. One of them looks like the Son of God." Then the king called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "Servants of the Most High, come out." The 3 men came out to the king. They weren't burnt, nor did they smell of fire. "The God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is blessed," the king declared. "No one may ever speak against their God." Okay, and then there's 2 questions here. Who did Nebuchadnezzar throw into the furnace? It was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many men did he see walking in the fire? He saw 4 men walking in the fire. And one of them, of course, looked like the Son of Christ. And this concludes our story for today. This was based on Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 23, and Daniel chapter 3, verses 25 through 30. Thank you for listening, and have a blessed Sabbath.
Thank you. Thank you very much, brother. It's amazing how the songs and what he just shared is going to be on topic of what we're discussing today in the sermon, so let's all kneel so we can pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for being, you know, within our midst. We pray that you bless us with your Holy Spirit's presence and understanding. Bridle my tongue and any tongue that may speak so that only your words come forth and only you are glorified. We thank you, Father, for the Sabbath that you give us each and every week. we can forget about our trials, our tribs, our jobs, everything, the bills, anything. You bless us with a day where we can actually relax. Thank you so much for it. Thank you for keeping us safe in it and letting us have the legal ability still to keep it. We know soon it'll be illegal, but thank you for the strength to stand firm regardless. Bless us as we go into the scriptures. Bless us with divine wisdom and understanding. Let it cut deep in our hearts. And give us opportunities to share with others so that they too can be blessed with the truth. Bless all those that are on our prayer list that are ailing, especially Rick's mother in Florida and his and her husband who's having a hard time dealing with the situation. We pray for all of our loved ones that are lost. And we thank you so much, Father, for doing absolutely everything that you possibly can to bring them closer to Christ. And thank you for blessing us with the trials and tribs and the good times as well that help us to get closer to Christ. Thank you for answering our prayer in that regard as well. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, in John chapter 16, verses 2 and 3, it says, "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me." You know, on March 12, 2000, the Pope almost said word for word what Jesus said in verse 2. They said that they were killing all those Christians during the Dark Ages, thinking they were doing God's will. And they're still doing it to this day. Of course, they're doing it more so behind closed doors and using government authority like they did back then. You didn't see a lot of it happening out in the open, but there were times that they did do it out in the open just so that people would be intimidated away from Christianity. The nice thing is that Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 says, "Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days, but be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." So some of us may end up in prison, and we have to stay faithful even unto death. Today's sermon is going to be a bit shocking, especially for younger Christians, because something's going to happen. Hopefully it doesn't. But they are stating something's going to happen tomorrow in India that may allow some of this Christian hatred that they have for us on this planet to escalate a little bit even more.
I got an article the other day that I'd like to share with you. I'm not going to read the whole article. I'm just going to read you bits and pieces of it in regards to what they're planning.
Line reads, "Radicals threaten to burn Christians to death." How can the volume be? This is a brand new battery. This is the better batteries. These, can you hear me?
Something wrong.
Testing. It's okay now? It's good now? Okay, let me know. Let me know if it goes out again.
Well, you kicked off the top below.
Yeah, I know. Well, okay. Maybe I should move the microphone. I can turn the microphone up on my... It was buzzing? Yeah, when it does that buzz, that usually means there's a problem. Yeah, let me get a little screwdriver here. I got... There's a way to turn up the volume on the mic. Is that better? And I know it went up a little bit, but is that okay? Yes? Okay. All right. Okay, here's the article. The headline reads, "Radicals threaten to burn Christians to death. Warn of consequences if they don't reconvert to Hinduism by Sunday." WorldNet Daily reported this, so you're not going to see this in the general media because they're going to hide it. The only time you're going to see this in the general media, I believe, is after the event. They're not going to say anything before the event, but if it does go down the way they're planning, then they're going to do it. The media will put it after the event for intimidation purposes only, because there would be no other reason to put it out there. The article says more than 60 Christian converts in northern India will be burned to death if they refuse to return to Hinduism by Sunday, a group of extremists has warned. The radical Hindus severely beat the convert's pastor, Feroz Mashis, in a November 4th attack in the state of Himachal Pradesh, accusing him of forcibly converting Hindus, reported Compass Direct, a news service that monitors persecution of Christians. Mashis sustained internal injuries requiring medical treatment and is still recovering. The pastor's son, Ramesh, told Compass Direct the estimated 10 attackers were members of the World Hindu Council and its youth wing, Bajrang Dal, which has been blamed for waves of attacks against Christians and other religious minorities since the rise of the Hindu Nationalist Party, BJP, in the late 1990s. The two church leaders sent a letter of complaint to officials at the local police station in Bajrang and the National Commission for Minorities, Compass Direct said. But Compass said the police regarded the beating as a minor incident. An official complaint regarding the attack has not been registered, and no one has been arrested, said Constable Rakesh Kumar. That doesn't surprise me. They don't care. And what? The microphones? Mic is out? No, the mic is... It's saying it's still good. We can hear? Everybody keeps, I don't know. Maybe something's wrong on their end. I don't know. Maybe I should get a different mic. I'll contact Radio Shack tonight after Sabbath because they close late. All right, continuing. Like we already know, they're going to lie about us. They lie about these people. According to Kumar, the VHP attacked Mashis based on the complaint of a local resident by the name of Prakash Khand, who alleged Mashish forcibly converted his wife 2 years ago. Kumar said police believe Mashish did not use force. Still, no arrest was made. They know that the person that told the police that he forcibly converted his wife to Hinduism was lying, but they still didn't, they didn't arrest anybody in regards to this beating. And like we see happening in our country, the media actually helps these people. It says, Mashis' son, however, said the beating was inspired by local media reports that claimed his father was forcibly converting Hindus. Even though the police believe that the guy is not forcibly converting Hindus to Christians, the media says he is. And this is what brings about these people. Even though we all know as Christians, Christians are truly the peacemakers. There is nothing in the Christian Bible that supports any kind of violence whatsoever. I don't know. I don't know what kind of Christians they are. I really don't know. This is the thing with some of these reports that you get. They just say Christian. And we know that the Lord winks of our times of ignorance. So these could be heaven-bound humans. They just don't have the same understanding of the scriptures as we do, but they're not to be held, you know, accountable for life they don't receive anyway. So that's not our concern. The article goes on to say, all right, hold on a second. Let me just switch mics. Maybe I should get better batteries. Okay, can you hear me now? Can you hear me okay now? Okay, this microphone has a battery in it, as well as does the transmitter. But let me know what happens, because if I have to, I'll just hook up directly into the mixer. Because it might be there's something wrong with that mic. This one here actually has a battery in it, too. So, all right. The article goes on to say that we simply preach the message of peace and joy as given in the Bible. All the believers who attend the worship have embraced Christianity out of their own free will, he said. The threat, he said, is reminiscent of a brutal murder of an Australian missionary, Graham Staines, and his two children in 1999 by Hindu radicals in the state of Orissa, who vowed to burn alive anyone who does not renounce their new faith. Okay? I did a newsletter on this. Graham Staines was 49 years old. His son Philip is 10, or was 10, and his son Timothy was 8. They were sleeping in their Jeep when these people that are saying that they're going to burn alive these Christians tomorrow came up, surrounded the Jeep while they were sleeping, and threw Molotov cocktails all around the Jeep. And then anybody that came near the Jeep, Hindus included, that tried to help the screaming children and the man were put to death. They did this out in the street. So it is a very strong possibility that they're going to come, they're going to follow through on their threats.
What did he have his kids out there for?
He was a missionary. He was a Christian missionary. That was his job. He went out into the world. Okay, let me hook up direct.
Are they off stage?
No, just once in a while somebody says it. I can't hook this up right now. I don't have the wires and stuff right now to mess with this. So hopefully you can hear me. Just keep an eye on the on this here. Okay, I'll turn that up. How's that? I turned up the mixer. Is that better? Okay. All right. I turned up the mixer then. Maybe that's all I had to do. All right. The article, of course, closes with a plea. Oh, and by the way, the police know who these people are, yet there's no arrest being made. All right. And again, the article closes with a plea where it says, "What is most important now is that we pray for the situation. These brothers and sisters have chosen by their own free will to follow Christ. I urge you to pray for their protection and that God will surround them with his angels and turn back any violence. Please also pray for their attackers, and their hearts will be softened that that God will work a miracle in their lives." Christians are now becoming a global target on this planet. Would we, as Christians, now have the faith necessary to handle an attack like this? Because it's going to be on our front doors, steps, soon enough. It's not here as of yet, but there are some things happening in this country that, you know, could say that we could end up behind bars for our faith. This is no isolated incident either, by the way. This has been going on for years. As a matter of fact, in 1998, 1,200 Christians were tortured by police in Egypt. In 1998, again, Christian persecution in India was said to be at its worst in 50 years, and it has escalated each year since then. And so it's almost been 10 years since they stated that, so it's just getting worse and worse and worse. In the year 2000, police actually helped Muslim rioters kill Christians. The police helped them kill the Christians. In Asia, the Middle East, North Africa, they intensify their anti-Christian attacks almost daily. Churches and Christian schools are burned on a regular basis in India. That's why most of it's underground now. North Vietnam tortures and kills Christians on a regular basis. Pakistan is killing Christians as well, which reminds me of that girl, Salima, who was 15 years old. They did a write-up about her on WorldNet Daily about how she found Christ as Lord. She got her best friend to understand who Jesus Christ was. She was 14. She was so excited, as some Christians become when they find Christ, that she ran home to tell her parents of her newfound faith in Jesus. Her parents killed her.
Where?
India. Or no, that was Pakistan. I'm sorry. Her parents killed her, and they had no recompense with legal, because it was legal. There was no problem. And then Salima was slated to be killed in a public execution the following day. And of course, the news never came out after that whether or not she was killed. Just like we don't know what will happen tomorrow. If they kill the Christians, will they say anything about it? Will it get out there? Russia kills Christians. Canada jails them. We all know about what's going on in Canada. If you use a Bible to try to talk to homosexuals about their lifestyle, the homosexual can have you put behind bars for up to 5 years. The United States of America jails Christians for trying to protest against homosexuals. That happened a few months ago. You know, like the Philadelphia 11, they're called now. These Philadelphian Christians went to this one parade that the homosexuals were having, and they had these, they were called Pink Angels. These homosexuals, they were all dressed up, kind of strange, and they were, the Christians were just standing there with signs protesting what they were doing, because it was vulgar what they were doing out in the open. So the police came, because the homosexuals were screaming vulgarities and death threats and all this other stuff at the crowd of, you know, at the 11 Christians. So the Christians ended up in jail. And the Christians ended up in court. They're going through court now. The United States of America is the first nation on earth to use the term Christian terrorist in 2003 when they were trying to track down Eric Rudolph. I got a write-up about that on the site. French officials imprison what they call as dangerous sects, such as Baptists and Methodists and Lutherans. They're considered dangerous sects, S-E-C-T-S, sects. That's in France. China has been torturing and killing Christians for decades. They actually are seeking to stamp out Christianity 100% shortly. They want to have it completely removed from their country. They're having a rough go. That's, you know, they're hoping by the time they become ambassador, you know, where they have diplomatic relations with the Vatican in 2008, that it's probably cleaned up by then. You know? Because then they won't have any problems for the Vatican. The Vatican can't handle Christians because the Christians expose what the Vatican does. Oxford University is testing torture techniques for the United States of American government on what they define as Christians right now. I had a newsletter and a radio broadcast about that, about how they're actually testing what they consider to be Christians. They're putting this chemical on their skin to see if, you know, the chemical is like fire. And it doesn't really, I mean, they get a rash and stuff like that, but what they do is they're trying to see if these Christians can ask God to help, and will he help? That's what they're testing. I know, it's so stupid. I mean, for lack of a better word, I mean, do you actually think God's going to play along with something like that? They got some Christians to play, and they're not really Christians, because when you look at what they're using to cultivate their desire to contact God, in other words, while they're burning these people, they put a statue of Jesus in front of them, or a statue of Mary. You know, they use these Catholic images to try to get, in other words, they're using Catholics. The Catholics are helping them test how to torture Christians. What method will be effective against God? Why? Well, because the devil knows what happened in the past, which we'll get into in a little while. He knows how ineffective his methods really are. Six Christians were literally stoned and then crucified in Angola in 1995. Men and women and children are jailed for Christ in Arabia on a regular basis. An SDA pastor in Rwanda was accused of war crimes and is presently, you know, having to deal with the Roman International Criminal Court. They're testing this out on him because they're going to use it on all of us. You know, they always have a case study. They always get one guy to to test it out so that they can go full force with it. The Sudan continues to be the largest killer of Christians to date. Nobody tops them, the Sudan. Mexican Catholic mobs jail and kill non-Catholics. And they also burn their homes and their cattle, and this happened in 2001. I have a newsletter and a radio broadcast about that. Sister White says in Great Controversy, page 41, under the fiercest persecutions, these witnesses for Jesus kept their faith unsullied, though deprived of every comfort, shut away from the light of the sun, making their home in the dark but friendly bosom of the earth. They uttered no complaint. Do you hear that? Even though they're going through all that, they don't utter any complaint.
But they use that for their testing ground.
Yeah. With words of faith, patience, and hope, they encouraged one another to endure privation and distress. The loss of every blessing, of every earthly blessing, could not force them to renounce their belief in Christ. Trials and persecutions were but steps bringing them nearer their rest and their reward. It's kind of like, how dare you threaten me with heaven? You know, kind of an attitude. Continuing, she says, like God's servants of old, many were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. They called to mind the words of their master, that when persecuted for Christ's sake, they were to be exceeding glad, for great would be the reward in heaven. For so the prophets had been persecuted before them. They rejoiced that they were accounted worthy to suffer for the truth. And songs, now listen to this, and songs of triumph ascended from the midst of crackling flames. This is why they're testing this. Because they're realizing they can't defeat the Christian. Continuing, looking upward by faith, they saw Christ and angels leaning over the battlements of heaven, gazing upon them with the deepest interest and regarding their steadfastness with approval. A voice came down to them from the throne of God, which is Revelation 2:10, which I read earlier. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That's the amazing thing about the way the Vatican works in regards to their torture techniques. If you ever read the Fox's Book of Martyrs and stuff like that, it's a little difficult to read, but they would sometimes say they'll stop the torture if they denounce Christ and accept Catholicism. They, you know, and they're going to kill them anyway. They're lying. Globally, we see now a clear pattern against the Christian right now. It's globally happening. Satan's hand is now extremely visible. We know what he's up to. We know that he hates the Christian. We have proof before our eyes that prophecies concerning our future is true. For those of us that are in comparative safety right now, you may think that we're strong, but are we really strong enough to handle such attacks right now? I mean, if it happened right now, would we be strong enough? The reason the media is showing these types of persecutions in these reports, this has to be twofold. There's got to be two reasons. One is, of course, intimidation. Try to scare people away from Christ. And the other, which is the catch-22 on their part, because they don't really want to do it, it actually confirms that prophecy, Christian prophecy, is true. The Lord is soon in coming. This is why it's escalating. You know, I did a newsletter last November where they're actually now using pictures of murdered Christians in the act of being murdered. Now, they don't show this kind of stuff in the United States of America because, well, we're civilized. No, it's just controlled media. They can come up with any excuse they want. I got that one large, it was from that girl in Canada, but she gets these magazines from France, and it was a huge magazine. It's like the size of a Sunday newspaper kind of magazine. Remember those pictures of that guy that they were beating up? I mean, this whole mob was chasing him just because he came into town looking for a job. They found out he was a Christian, so they're beating him. So he was like 20, maybe 22, young kid.
It's an actual newspaper.
That's an actual, no, it's a magazine, the way it's set up. But it looks like a newspaper. Yeah, it could be a magazine, newspaper kind of a thing. And then they're showing him picture after picture after picture. I mean, you know, clubs and all this other stuff. I've got in that newsletter, and of course the last picture shows him like in the fetal position on the ground trying to protect his head and stuff from all the blows that the crowd is hitting him with. And someone in the crowd had a machete, and you could see that the machete is about 8 inches inside him, under his ribs. You know, they killed him. And then, of course, they show other ones. That's intimidation. It's to try to scare the Christian away from Christ. And in my October 2004 newsletter, I showed a young girl, you know, where they have this, you know, like the World, you know, the World Wrestling Federation kind of a thing that you see on TV. It's all blood and guts, and you know, and it's violence is what sells now, and that's why they got these. We got just regular basic television, but every now and then you could see how they got these. Oh no, it's a pay-per-view event. That's right. They were advertising this pay-per-view event where it's bare knuckle, it's tough man contest. And some of these guys die in these cage matches. It's not fake like the wrestlers are. These wrestlers are, this is all fake, but it's all acrobatic, and it's really cool the way they do it, I guess they think, because people get into it, because they really have acrobatic abilities. But these fights that they were showing for the pay-per-view event, it's bare-knuckle fighting, kicking, and gouging and biting and doing anything they can to try to put the opponent down. This is entertainment now.
Yeah.
And so in Paris, this is what I'm coming up to in my October 2004 newsletter. In Paris, they have this, what do they have? They got a miniature mock-up of the Roman Colosseum, where they have all these games and stuff like gladiators running around in the Colosseum at the base. And they got all these seats for people to sit around like in a football game. It's just like the Roman Colosseum. It's just a little smaller. It only holds like about 50,000 people. And they got all these people and they're watching them. It's kind of like what they do like back in the 70s. What was those bars they used to have where you could go there and you have to eat with your hands and they got these knights doing these jousting and stuff like that with the fake jousting. It's just getting people conditioned to enjoy violence, right? And so guess what they've got right there in the middle of the Colosseum while all these guys are running around, these gladiators acting like they're killing each other with maces and these large swords and stuff like that. They got fake lions, these giant, they looked real. I mean, they zoomed in on this picture that they put in this magazine that it wouldn't even fit in my scanner. The picture was so huge. They zoomed in and the lion looked real. Was a big old male lion sitting upright next to a beautiful young blonde woman with her hands tied up on these two posts. She's a Christian with the white robe. This was part of the entertainment. They got all these guys killing each other, and here, guess what? After it's all said and done, we're going to eat a Christian. We're going to kill him, the lion. That's what it's coming to. The lions are back. Sister White says, in Great Controversy, chapter 60, page 602, she says, when the testing time shall come, those who have made God's word their rule of life will be revealed. In summer, there is no noticeable difference between evergreens and the other trees. But when the blasts of winter come, the evergreens remain unchanged. You want to see it, kids? Go out in the backyard. We got that miniature forest. You know, we got a lot of regular trees, but there's a whole mess of evergreens. It's still green back there because of the evergreens. The evergreens remain unchanged while the other trees are stripped of their foliage. Or foliage. So, the false-hearted professor may not be distinguished from the real Christian, but the time is just upon us when the difference will be apparent. Let opposition arrive. Let bigotry and intolerance again bear sway. Let persecution be kindled, and the half-hearted and hypocritical will waver and yield the faith. But the true Christian will stand firm as a rock, his faith stronger, his hope brighter than in days of prosperity. Says the psalmist, Psalm 119:99 and 104. Thy testimonies are my meditation. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Of course, that's Proverbs 3:13 and Jeremiah 17:8. We need to draw close to him right now. We don't have a lot of time to get right with him. If the Lord gives us 5-10 years, or 5-10 months, or 5-10 days, we got to use them wisely. We don't know how long it's going to be before it literally gets with the mark of the beast and whatnot. We don't know. We know it's going to happen. We just don't know when. That's the difference. He's allowing us to see it coming soon. He's allowing us to see these reports in the media. They're tripping this stuff up, not us. They're the ones that mess up. And there's many times you'll see reports on the media that just won't show up day two because they realize, oops, we let out a prophetic event to be televised. Our Lord's a lot more powerful than they are. He can confuse and cloud their minds just as easy as the devil does. These articles in the media are advanced warnings. What should be our focus now besides spreading the present truth? Sister White says in Testimonies, Volume 9, page 16, Satan is a diligent Bible student. He knows that his time is short, and he seeks at every point to counterwork the work of the Lord upon this earth. It is impossible to give any idea of the experience of the people of God, who shall be alive upon the earth when celestial glory and a repetition of the persecutions of the past are blended. Celestial glory and the persecution are going to be at the same time. They will walk in the light proceeding from the throne of God. By means of the angels, there will be constant communication between heaven and earth. and Satan surrounded by evil angels and claiming to be God will work miracles of all kinds to deceive, if possible, the very elect. God's people will not find their safety in working miracles, for Satan will counterfeit the miracles that will be wrought. God's tried and testing people. You have been tried and tested, by the way. How do you fare so far? Continuing, God's tried and tested people will find their power in the signs spoken of Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 to 18. And I counsel you all to read it. It has to do with keeping the Sabbath. That's our sign. That's his sign upon us. That's his seal upon us. They are to take their stand on the living word. It is written. This is the only foundation upon which they can stand securely. Those who have broken their covenant with God will in that day be without God and without hope. Skipping down to page 230 in the same book, which is volume 9 of the testimonies, she says, "The Lord has said, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations." Of course, that's Exodus 31:13. "None should disobey his command in order to escape persecution." Okay, that's a no-brainer, but it has to be said. None should disobey his command in order to escape persecution. So many think, like some of the higher-ups, for example, that have been approached by Rome recently. Take Jack Van Impe, for example. Now, this man shows fruits of someone outside Christianity, of course. He has strange ideas in regards to the seven-year trib, and he's a Sunday keeper and whatnot, but he used to expose the Pope as Antichrist. And then all of a sudden, one day, he completely changed because they probably approached him and said, either stop it or we're going to shut you down. Yeah, and his wife's name is Rexella.
Oh,
yeah,
that guy.
And then Doug Batchelor, too, was approached. It was obvious because he used to do those Revelation seminars, him and Mark Finley and all them.
And the guy...
They were told not to say that the Pope is Antichrist in an open forum. You can only do it behind closed doors, and they agreed.
The other guy, who I have your body
Robertson? Pat Robertson.
Yes.
Yeah, he says the Pope is a man with the Holy Ghost, with
right.
the Holy Spirit now.
Before he was saying that.
Yeah.
The Catholic Church was Babylon. Then he
came. No, you're thinking of Billy Graham.
Sure.
Billy Graham, when he started out, I was young Catholic at the time when Billy Graham started out, and he was going around telling people that the Catholic Church was that was the house of Antichrist and all this. Because I can remember the nuns coming around telling us when we were little kids, tell your mommy and daddy, don't get any of those crusades, because there was a crusade in the Chicago area. Stay away, he'll proselytize you. Oh, that was a word that just scared the daylights out of me. What does that mean? Does that have anything to do with a cattle prod? I mean, I was just scared. I didn't know. And I says, oh, it's just deadly. Don't go anywhere near him, you know. And because he was showing that the Pope was Antichrist, but then he was approached.
Oh, sure. Pat Robertson was doing that too, years and years.
Probably. Pat Robertson, yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. Anyway, continuing, she says, but let us consider the words of Christ. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. Matthew 10:23. If it can be avoided, do not put yourselves into the power of men who are worked by the spirit of Antichrist. Everything that we can do should be done that those who are willing to suffer for the truth's sake may be saved from oppression and cruelty. In other words, don't place the target on you. You hear some Sabbath keepers that say, oh, when they pass that national Sunday law, I'm going to make it a point to go out and cut my lawn on Sundays. Or I'm going to go out there and I'm going to grab my briefcase and walk out the door on Sunday and just go up to... You're asking for trouble. Yeah. You know, you're asking for trouble. You're going to get enough trouble as it is. There's no reason to put a target on yourself. Continuing, she says, Christ is our example. The determination of Antichrist to carry out the rebellion he began in heaven will continue to work in the children of disobedience. Their envy and hatred against those who obey the fourth commandment will wax more and more bitter. Some of us have already seen this firsthand. We are getting attacked right now for our faith. Continuing, it says, but the people of God are not to hide their banner. They are not to ignore the commandments of God, and in order to have an easy time, go with the multitude to do evil. In other words, they don't go with the multitude to do evil. The Lord encourages all who will seek him with the whole heart. He gives them his Holy Spirit, the manifestation of his presence and favor. But those who forsake God in order to save their lives will be forsaken by him. In seeking to save their lives by yielding the truth, they will lose eternal life. Remember when Christ says, those who seek to save their life shall lose it? And those who lose it shall find it? That's what he's talking about. Those who seek to save their life. Oh, I don't want to get burned alive, or I don't want to get shot in the head, or I don't want that guillotine to cut my head off. Those who seek to save their life. In other words, and some of their thinking is like with Jack Van Impe and all these other guys, well, I don't think the Lord would want me to stop talking about him and, you know, evangelizing. So, yeah, I'll get the mark of the beast just so they, you know, I can continue preaching. You know, I'll go along with this, you know. They won't realize it's the mark of the beast, of course, but they'll say, yeah, okay, I'll go along with the Roman mandate because I don't think that the Lord would want a man of God to die. I think he wants me to go forth with this message.
And get richer.
And get richer, yeah. Continuing, the night of trial is nearly spent. Satan is bringing in his masterly power because he knoweth that his time is short. The chastisement of God is upon the world to call all who know the truth to hide in the cleft of the rock and view the glory of God. You get that? The chastisement of God is upon the world to call all who know the truth to hide in the cleft of the rock, because that's the only place you're going to be able to hide. That's a capital R rock, by the way. You hide in Christ and view the glory of God. You're going to see his hand move. Don't be like that one king. You hide in the, you hide in Christ. You let him protect you. If he says you have to go, you know, be faithful even unto death. If, in other words, if he wants you to die, you shall die. If he doesn't want you to die, he will protect you either way. Martyrdom is actually a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's one thing that you can be blessed with because martyrdom will allow many people. Yes, in Christ it is. You will have a reward in heaven like none other. You'll get a crown in heaven. She goes on to say that the truth must not be muffled now. So when the attack becomes graphically before us, we will realize that this is what we have been trained for or have been studying the Word for. His Word is what we need to learn, and when we learn His Word, we end up trusting Him even more. She finishes up by saying, plain statements must be made, unvarnished truth must be spoken in leaflets and pamphlets, and these must be scattered like the leaves of autumn. We have a mighty calling. The enemy has made his move, and we sit idle. Now's the time to work. When we have it, opportunity to work, when it's legal. They're going to shut us down irregardless. They're going to be on our front steps anyway. We may as well bring as many as we can into the camp with us. And yes, some of them that we bring in with us are going to turn around and leave anyway and may even point out where we're at. There's nothing we can do. That's why we hide in the cleft of the rock. And that's a symbolic hiding in the cleft of the rock. We embrace Christ and let Him have complete control. In other words, I'm not hiding in away from the persecution. What I'm saying is I'm going to grab hold of Christ as tight as I can, and whatever happens, happens. It is well with my soul. Period. It's just going to be whatever He chooses. Because I trust Him. Starting now will allow us to be that much stronger when the attack comes. But do not think we can do it on our own terms. In James chapter 4, verses 8 to 10, it says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. He's the only way we're going to be able to make it through this. If we don't have 100% trust in Him, we don't grab hold of Him and not let go, we're not going to be able to make it through this time. We're going to get scared. Like, who was the king? I think it's King Ahaz. I was just reading about in 2 Samuel, or 2 Kings, where he didn't trust in the Lord. Isaiah, this is where Isaiah comes into play. All right off the bat, this is one of the first things that Isaiah does. He comes to this king and says, look, if you trust in the Lord will make the Syrian people a thing of the past and whatnot. And you do this and do that and do this. But no, the king is scared that all these other people are going to rise up against him. And so he decides to ask the Syrian king for help. And the end result, of course, is he gives him the help and all this other stuff, but the end result is destruction when it comes down to it in the final end of all things. No matter how scary it gets, keep your eyes on Christ. Always remember 1 Corinthians 10:13, where it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but just such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. This we should memorize. Okay? We memorized it as a family. I have a tendency to forget, and I should re-memorize it. Reason being is, when you're in the midst of the persecution, let's just say you're on your way to be killed with a guillotine or whatever, remember that the Lord will not allow anything to come to you that you can't handle. If it's coming, then you must be able to handle it. He'll be there. He'll give you the strength to endure. Sister White says in manuscript 20, in the year 1905, she says, Holy Spirit makes, no, this is the title, it's Holy Spirit makes appeals effective. It says, if you seek the Lord, putting away all evil speaking and all selfishness and continuing instant in prayer, the Lord will draw nigh to you. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that gives efficiency or efficacy to your efforts and your appeals. Humble yourselves before God, that in His strength you might rise to a higher standard. Many of us already know that this is how true this is. We understand the power of the Word because it says, faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. We also know the power of His promises. And that's why I say memorize 1 Corinthians 10:13, because He's not going to give you anything you can't handle. If we wait to the last minute to get right with Him, we're not going to have any experience to fall back on. We're not going to have any experience in our mind or in our hearts or in our life, in our life to look back and say, He'll be there for me during that time. It's going to be a little rough for those who wait till the last minute to trust in the Lord. It can be done, yes. But it's so much easier when you've got a long relationship and you've been walking with Him for a long time. And then He can use you. Because He's going to need powerful Christians in these days. He's going to need the Gideon band to go through. You know, the 144,000, they've got to be able to go through the time of tribulation. Common sense, we need to build a relationship with Him now. Great Controversy 298 says, the wide circulation of the Bible in the early part of the 19th century and the great light thus shed upon the world was not followed by a corresponding advance in knowledge of revealed truth or in experimental religion. Satan could not, as in former ages, keep God's word from the people. It had been placed within the reach of all, but in order to still accomplish his objection, he led many to value it but lightly. Men neglected to search the scriptures, and thus they continued to accept false interpretations and to cherish doctrines which had no foundation in the Bible. The enemy still attacks the word to this day. He knows how powerful it is. That's why you have an NIV or NASB or a Dewey Rames or RSV, all these other bogus Bibles. He knows the Bible's powerful. We need to go and focus on the scriptures because that's where the enemy's focusing his attack. Whatever is his major threat is your biggest weapon against him. Think about that. Whatever scares him the most is our biggest weapon. It's the sword of the Lord. That's, it's a two-edged sword. The devil is so scared of the scriptures that he attacks it on a regular basis. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. In closing, Sister White says in Desire of Ages, page 354, they will deliver you up to councils, yea, and before governors and kings, shall ye be brought for my sake. That's a capital M. That's for Christ's sake. For a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. Matthew 10:17, of course, and 18. Persecution will spread the light. The servants of Christ will be brought before the great men of the world, who but for this might never hear the gospel. In other words, they never read the Bible or never understood who Jesus Christ really was until all of a sudden you're in their courtroom. The truth has been misrepresented to these men. They have listened to false charges concerning the faith of Christ's disciples. And that has to be the case with these weird laws that are being passed around the world. They think Christians are violent because they have not read a Bible. These so-called important men that run countries, you think they would investigate a Christian Bible the way they have investigated a Quran. The Quran right there says kill Christians. But does that say that in the Christian Bible about the Muslim? The Christian Bible is a peaceful book, but they won't open up. And so, some of us has to stand before them. And the only way that's going to happen is with persecution. Often their only means of learning the real, its real character is the testimony of those who are brought to trial for their faith. Under examination, these are required to answer, and their judges to listen to the testimony borne, because they have to listen. God's grace will be dispensed to his servants to meet the emergency. It shall be given you, says Jesus, in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. As the Spirit of God illuminates the minds of his servants, the truth will be presented in its divine power and preciousness. Those who reject the truth will stand to accuse and oppress the disciples. But under loss and suffering, even unto death, the Lord's children are to reveal the meekness of their divine example. Thus will be seen the contrast between Satan's agents and the representatives of Christ. In other words, some of the judges are going to realize, look, you guys are lying about these Christians. They aren't as you say. That's been the biggest proclamation of the Vatican since day one. They have made Christianity look evil and hateful because of what the Vatican did to Muslims and everybody else and the Jews. They've made us look like we are as they are, and we aren't that way. We're peaceful people. The Savior will be lifted up before the rulers and the people. The disciples were not endowed with the courage and fortitudes of the martyrs until such grace was needed. Did you hear that? The courage will be there when you need it. It's scary now, yes, but when that day comes, you'd be, because I've had situations in my life a few times that I've had, you think in advance, oh, that's scary, but when it comes down to it and you're in it, you'd be surprised how much courage you can have. Continuing, then the Savior's promise was fulfilled. When Peter and John testified before the Sanhedrin council, men marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus, it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Of Stephen, it is written, that all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, saw his face as if it had been of an angel. Men were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit of which he spake, it says in Acts chapter 6, verses 15 and 10. And Paul, writing of his own trial in the court of the Caesars, says, at my first defense, no one took my part, but all forsook me. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. You'd be surprised how, if it's not time for you to die yet, it won't happen. But if it is, it will happen. Either way, all is well with my soul. You hide within the cleft of the rock. Trust him. Don't be as these weak-kneed kings you see in the Old Testament that went to the heathen for help and protection when Israel was always protected by the Lord. Specifically Judah. As you see when you go through there, you see how it's just contrasted between the two. The servants of Christ were to prepare no set speech to present when brought to trial. Their preparation was to be made. Now listen, if you want to know what to say before the trial, of course, the Holy Spirit's going to have to speak through you. But here is how it's done. It says, their preparation was to be made day by day in treasuring up the precious truths of God's word and through prayer strengthening their faith. When they were brought into trial, the Holy Spirit would bring to remembrance the very truths that they would need. We're in school right now. If you draw nigh now, he'll draw nigh to you. John 14:26 is not a joke. He'll bring all things to your remembrance, what's already said unto you. And so when we need it, it'll be there. And then finally she says, a daily earnest striving to know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent would bring power and efficiency to the soul. The knowledge obtained by a diligent searching of the scriptures would be flashed into the memory at the right time. But if you aren't in the Bible, it's not going to be there. But if any had neglected to acquaint themselves with the words of Christ, if they had never tested the power of his grace in trial, they could not expect that the Holy Spirit would bring his words to their remembrance. They were to serve God daily with undivided attention and then trust him. You know that one parable that Jesus says about, you know, where he casts the, you know, the seeds on the rocky soil? Some of the, you know, everybody's tested to see, are you going to be able to handle what's about to come? So the Lord allows trials and tribulations to come, and some of us shrink back, can't handle it. When that's where it ends. But if you can handle the trials, it makes you grow even stronger in Christ so that when the big trials come, you have the experiences. You know he's there for you. What are we going to sing? It is well with my soul. And what number is that, though? 321. Okay, it's number, what, 321? Where's my book? I like that last stanza. Is that what you call them in the song, stanza? Or is that poem?
Verse.
Where it says, my faith shall be sight. You know? When the clouds roll back as a scroll. That's going to be a great and dreadful day, sadly, but it's going to be a great day for us. Next week, by the way, Pastor Sessler is going to be preaching in here. So, just thought I'd mention that. Let's kneel. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the courage that we have in Christ Jesus. Bless us, Father, with a deep desire to go into your scriptures on a daily basis. Give us a teachable spirit. Give us a craving in our hearts for your word, for the truth. We want to be ready, Father. We want to be able to be used by you in a mighty way so that you are glorified and many more come to the saving knowledge of your Son. We know that there are great trials and tribulations ahead, and we know that the trials and tribulations you allow now help us to grow stronger in you, give us experiences in you, as well as prepare us for the days ahead. So thank you for pruning us, if you will, or honing our characters, or burning away the dross that is upon us. Thank you so much for loving us so much that you allow exactly what it is we can handle and nothing more. Thank you for your scriptures. We can always find solace and peace and comfort. Thank you for teaching us how to hide in the cleft of the rock and still stand firm in Christ, no matter what. And thank you for teaching us that no matter what, it is well with our souls. Bless us in this week ahead. Bless us in the remainder of this Sabbath day. All those that go into the secular employment, we pray, Father, that you bless them in a special way where they can reflect Christ. Even if no words are said, he can be reflected in their actions alone. And thank you so much for blessing all those that are on our prayer list with answered prayers. And all those that help the ministry physically, spiritually, and financially, we pray that you bless them in the way you promised. And thank you once again for letting us be in these last days and do this work you have called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.